as it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Here in Washington, D.C., the People's Action Rise from Protest to Power convention. We've talked about a lot of things here. We've talked about health care. We've talked about jobs, racial equality, LGBT equality, all of those things. The one thing to me that seems to be really lacking that should be front and center is education. And here to talk a little bit about education, one of my good friends and someone we've had on the program numerous times, Jeff Bryant, is the director of the Education Opportunity Network, a fantastic organization. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
So here's the thing. I mean, you've sat through a lot of the plenaries. You've sat through a lot of the discussions here. And it's, like I said, we've had all of these things. It just seems education maybe not right out in front like I would like it to be.
Well, that's actually been a chronic problem in the progressive movement. I can't confine that paucity just to People's Action. The topic was mentioned very little during this past presidential campaign. When it was mentioned, the candidates tended to stumble over the issues like they hadn't studied up too well. But I will say this. One thing that the People's Action folks are doing in this meeting is they're putting in front and center issues that are fundamentally related to education. The issues they are spotlighting, like economic justice and racial justice, have to be relevant and made real with education justice. I don't see how you can have economic justice without education justice.
Right.
I don't see how you can talk about racial justice and not start in our public schools, which have chronically underserved people of color. The one exception where they are talking about schools is the fight for free college.
Right, the higher ed stuff. Because I would argue because they can vote.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the case. But nevertheless, you got to be able to get out of high school to have the opportunity for free college. So I think it's present here. It is it belongs here. That's certainly my reason for being here, is to make sure that it's on the agenda. And so I think at times it bubbles up to the surface, especially when you talk to some of the groups here who are from communities like Chicago, like Philadelphia, where the fight for schools is taking place right in the streets. And this meeting is about taking things from the streets and bringing it up to lead the movement. So I think K-12 is inevitably going to become more of an important topic in the discussion here, and certainly in the work of People's Action.
You know, I've said for years on this program that if they take public education away from people, if that fundamental building block of our society and self-governance, that common education is taken, everything else is lost.
Right. By far, public education is the most collaborative thing that America does. Nothing else comes closer. It involves every single citizen. Even if you don't have children of school age, you pay taxes for public schools. And you are still affected by what happens to the young people in your community that are the products or the outcomes of a school that's dysfunctional. So this is the most collaborative endeavor that Americans engage in. It is also, like you said, a fundamental building block of our democracy. It's where decision-making starts at the local level in locally elected school boards that decide how all of us are going to work together to provide the education experience that children deserve.
Absolutely. And yeah. And look, you're right. If we want all of those other things, if you want to end income inequality, a good place to start is, you know, at the education level. And, you know, I think back to some of the people that I know who have just massive student loan debts. I mean, they're going to be in debt till the day they die. There's just no other way around it, because they believed, you know, if the only way I'm going to have a good life in this country is if I get this golden ticket, if I get this degree. But sadly, you look at the numbers and you hear these stories of these kids just really, I mean, an outrageous amount of debt that they're carrying.
Right. The stories are indeed sad, and they're being well told here. Because People's Action is making free college one of their main campaigns, They've organized student action groups across the country. I think there are student action groups here, but maybe as many as 20 states have their student action groups here. And their main push is going to be on the free college tuition campaign.
Like we saw in New York recently.
Yeah. The stories, this to them is a personal story. And they start from that point of view because they have high stakes in the game. And their lived experience is what I think is going to define a lot of the campaign, just like the lived experiences of people in other progressive causes have defined those campaigns, for instance, marriage equality,
right,
and Black Lives Matter.
But you look at the group here, and a lot of them are, a lot of the people who are in attendance are in the marginalized communities. And again, you come back to that education as the building block of everything else. Again, you know, as a labor guy, I think, you know, economics, the job, that's the central part. Education just equally is important in my view.
Right. You take my experience growing up in Texas. I came up, just to give everybody an idea of my age, I came up when the school system was racially integrated. It happened during my elementary school years. And it was absolutely a fundamental change in my life, something that I will forever remember, because having to go to school with students who weren't like me, and also being taught that I needed to respect them as my peers, was fundamental to my upbringing and my entire outlook on life now as being wanting to be somebody who believes in inclusion and the American way and democracy.
And that's an interesting point, because what's going on and what we're seeing right before our eyes, Jeff, is this resegregation. And it's based on wealth. It's based on opportunity. It's based on, you know, school districts that can provide the education. And again, I come back to that. Education seems to be what's dividing us.
Yes. If you look at the outcome of the most recent presidential election, one of the biggest differences in whether you voted for Trump or Clinton was your education experience. But then it also divides our local communities. People talk about public housing and housing policy in general being the cause of segregation. But actually there's many, many cases where school segregation is what caused neighborhood segregation. In places like Little Rock, Arkansas, and Durham, North Carolina, in communities like that, people started sorting out and separating the races by doing it first in schools.
Right. But here's the thing, Jeff. We're told that there are all these silver bullet things going to fix our public education systems, especially in poor and minority communities. And I look at where I live in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia has been the petri dish of every bad educational silver bullet scheme to come down the pike. And yet the schools are getting worse and worse because you're divvying it up in all of these, well, we're funding a lot of very rich people at the expense of a lot of poor people.
Right, and we're going down a dangerous, slippery slope. The latest silver bullet, as you know, offered up by the Trump administration, and even some Democrats, is that we ought to have school choice, that it's all about the parents choosing which school they want. Well, most research, the majority of research, finds that school choice, at least as it's been used, actually divides people racially more. And
but Jeff, how can you be against choice? I keep getting this argument because I've said on my program, I don't want choice. I'm sorry, I don't. In healthcare, I want to know if I get sick, I go to the doctor. For my kids to go to school, I want to make sure that there's a qualified teacher at the front of the classroom with all the resources in small classes so that they can have opportunity. Why do I want bad choice or bad choice when I can have a good opportunity?
Well, we're being sold a bill of goods when we're being when we have choice promoted, because what Americans really want is they want a guarantee, like you're saying. They want a guarantee that their school district, and if it's close by, that's great, because most parents prefer that, is going to be a good school. And in a good school, at least in America, a good school is a racially integrated school. Research shows that all students benefit when schools are racially integrated, including the white kids.
Yeah, I mean, because you learn to, and it's, again, school is part of what life is going to be. If you don't interact at a young age with people who have differences, you're going to struggle as an adult, I think.
Right. We see that in our political discourse right now,
certainly,
which has gotten very polarizing along racial lines, which has gotten demeaning towards certain groups of people. And that reflects badly, I think, on a person's life experiences where they would talk that way.
Yeah, so looking at this convention and the 1,200-some activists that are here going to go home and back to their communities, on the education front, what would you want them to hear, and what do you want to see come out of this?
I would like to see more inclusion of the term education justice in the platforms going forward, at least maybe not the formal ones, but certainly the rhetoric.
Sure.
The local stories that are percolating up about people fighting for their schools, their public schools in their neighborhoods, I would hope that the national organization would embrace those like they've embraced the other local stories that have percolated up about fighting for minimum wage, for instance, or for a guaranteed family sick leave. I think that some of the things that need to come out are, first of all, yes, that issue of a guarantee of a good public school. And also with the guarantee of a good public school is the fair and equitable funding for it. You and I have talked about this issue numerous times. You being in Pennsylvania know about it better
than anybody.
One of the
craziest states in the country.
Right. We continue to give schools that need money the most the least, while we spend a lavish amount sometimes on the wealthiest kids. We need leadership at the top to end that.
Yep.
We have gone through two presidential administrations where that has been completely ignored. And I'm sure Trump will ignore it or even make it worse.
I think he'll make it worse with DeVos, but you're right. Obama was no great savior either.
No. And with Arne Duncan, the idea of racial integration, he called it an option. He said it was something that he would prefer people do, but he never made it a point of policy.
Right.
He never, for instance, included it in his programs such as Race to the Top. He never put equal funding as an incentive to get Race to the Top money. Instead, he incentivized things that further divided schools and worsened inequality.
We got a lot to do, and you're right. Educational justice should be right there at the top. Jeff, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Keep up the great work there with the Education Opportunity Network. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rich.
Our good friend, Jeff Bryan. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.